Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Wednesday, December 10th. Now, representatives from National Grid and Riley Brothers Construction Company may appear at a future Quincy City Council meeting to discuss an electrical explosion that left a worker seriously injured in October. Councilor-at-Large Nina Liang introduced a resolution last month that was unanimously approved, calling on representatives from both companies to appear before the council, and also calling for better oversight of projects in the city, plus a state investigation. The Riley Brothers worker was badly burned after cutting into a live electrical cable at Southern Artery and Broad Street on the night of October 22nd. The victim was still hospitalized as of November 10th. OSHA is also investigating. Now, Liang is leaving office at the end of the year, but said she hopes that both National Grid and Riley Brothers will appear before the City Council in the future to discuss the incident. Both companies issued statements saying that they would be willing to appear before the council once the investigation of that incident is completed. Money that the city was holding for the former Ward 4 Community Center will be redistributed to Quincy Community Action Programs, the Southwest Middle School, and the Lincoln Hancock Community School, and for traffic improvements. The City Council this week approved the transfer of those funds, including $6,000 for improvements to Willard Street around Battery March Park. A total of over $12,000 was also transferred to the schools to support PTO activities and sports equipment. Funds were also transferred to the Southwest Community Center, operated by Quincy Community Action Programs. Ward 4 Councilor James Devine and Mayor Thomas Koch requested those transfers. Councilors unanimously supported the moves. Well, federal prosecutors said yesterday they will not seek the death penalty against former Stoughton police officer Matthew Farwell, who's charged with killing Sandra Birchmore and her unborn child. The 23-year-old Birchmore was pregnant when she died in 2021 inside her Canton apartment. Her death was initially ruled a suicide. The judge in the case had set a January 20th, 2026 deadline for the government to decide whether it would seek the death penalty. A court filing from the U.S. Attorney's Office attributed the decision to U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi. Farwell has pleaded not guilty to killing a witness or victim. Prosecutors allege that he strangled Birchmore to death inside her apartment and then staged the scene to make it look like she had died by suicide. A grand jury indictment alleged that Farwell had sex with Birchmore when she was 15 years old and he was 27. Birchmore was part of a youth program called the Stoughton Police Explorers Academy, where Farwell was a volunteer. According to the indictment, Birchmore told Farwell that he was the father of her unborn child in December of 2020. A friend of hers called Stoughton police in January and reported that Farwell had been having sex with Birchmore. In October, Farwell was indicted on a second count of killing a witness or victim added under the state's Protection of Unborn Children law. The superseding indictment revealed that she was between 8 and 10 weeks pregnant with a baby boy. Farwell is set to face trial in a Boston federal court in October of 2026. A Taunton man facing felony charges after a severely malnourished dog was found in his car during a traffic stop in West Bridgewater. 27-year-old Devin Preeper was charged with one count of animal cruelty. He'll be arraigned in Brockton District Court on December 23rd. According to West Bridgewater Police, Preeper was pulled over for running a red light on North Main Street on November 24th at about 11:49 a.m. The officer conducting the stop noticed a significantly underweight dog in Preeper's car. The dog, a 9-month-old puppy named Sprout, was taken to Westbridge Veterinary Referral Hospital for treatment. Investigators determined Sprout was severely malnourished and that Preeper was her owner. Following a weeks-long investigation, which included gathering veterinary reports and follow-up interviews, police developed probable cause to charge Preeper. Sprout is recovering at the Animal Protection Center of Southeastern Massachusetts, where officials said her condition is slowly improving. Sprout is up to 9 pounds right now. She was 6 pounds at her lowest. Several immigrants ready to take their citizenship oaths at Boston's Faneuil Hall in the past week were told they could not proceed because of their countries of origin. The same situation is playing out across the country. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has instructed its employees to halt immigration pathways to people from 19 countries deemed high risk, including Afghanistan, Cuba, Venezuela, Haiti, and Somalia. The naturalization ceremony is the final step to becoming a U.S. citizen, a process that takes years to complete. The Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition said that 5 people they've been working with received cancellation notices, and another 40 people are now uncertain of their future. Most of those getting cancellation notices are from the 19 countries included in the current ban. Several people said they received cancellation notices through an online portal, but said the notices provided no further guidance. Project Citizenship, which said some of its clients were impacted, provided an example of a cancellation letter. Advocates say the cancellations have been going out on a rolling basis, but not everyone is getting the memo. Some are finding out as they show up at the door of their ceremony. Process to become a U.S. citizen typically takes between 3 to 5 years. It requires an application, an interview, and a test, plus hundreds of dollars in fees. Members of the Cannabis Control Commission, the regulatory body that oversees the legal cannabis industry in Massachusetts, expects to pass regulations for social consumption tomorrow. Social consumption would allow cannabis businesses to allow customers to use their products on site. That could include at dispensaries, lounges, or even at yoga studios. Once the regulations are formally approved, it'll be up for municipalities to decide whether they want social consumption sites. The first social consumption license would be reserved for members of the Cannabis Control Commission's Social Equity Program. Licensees would also be subjected to safeguards. Licensees must have a rideshare plan. They cannot commingle alcohol with cannabis at their sites, and they must serve food and water. Governor Healey speaking out yesterday in support of extending federal tax credits that kept health insurance premiums in check. The tax credits have been at the heart of fierce discussions in Congress in recent weeks, with Democrats insisting that they be extended to help Americans with rising health costs. The Senate is expected to vote this week on a Democratic proposal to extend the subsidies without major changes. But Republicans in charge have already rejected that proposal, and hopes for any extension are diminishing, with many Republicans opposed. Subsidies were first established in 2021 and extended 1 year later. The fight over another extension was at the heart of the recent government shutdown. Without congressional action, Healey's office estimates that 328,000 Massachusetts residents who purchased their coverage through the Health Connector will see premiums increase as much as $25,000 in 2026. Governor, who was a Democrat, and state officials also announced an updated web portal for the Health Connector. A new Get an Estimate tool is now offered, allowing anonymous users to check available options. Open enrollment for the Health Connector runs through January 23rd. The deadline for coverage to start the new year is December 23rd. A key Massachusetts legislative committee is recommending passage of a so-called shield law that would prevent journalists from being forced to reveal confidential sources' identities. The favorable report from the Joint Committee on the Judiciary is a significant step for a bill that's failed to advance for years. Journalists, including Walter Robinson, who led the Boston Globe spotlight team when it exposed the Catholic Church's priest abuse scandal, testified in support of the bill earlier this year. The journalist testified about the importance of being able to protect sources who reveal critical information, often at great risk to themselves. Massachusetts is one of just 9 states in the country without a shield law for journalists. A check of business news this morning. Stocks are mixed. The Dow down 179, the NASDAQ rose 30, and the S&P dropped 6. Asian stocks mostly lower ahead of a Fed meeting later today that's expected to result in the third cut to interest rates this year. The dollar fell, the euro is higher, oil at $58 a barrel. Sports: the Bruins beat the Blues 5-2. They'll be in Winnipeg tomorrow night at 8. Today's forecast from the National Weather Service: cloudy with showers this afternoon at a high of 47 degrees. Lingering showers this evening, lows drop off to the upper 20s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and windy, the high of 35. Friday, sunny and windy, the high of 32. And mostly cloudy Saturday on high 33. For the boater, waves about 2 feet, southwesterly winds 15 to 20, gusting to 30 knots, and a high tide at 3:29 this afternoon. Sunrise 7:01, sets 4:11. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Wednesday, December 10th.